Welcome to Our Noble Challenge. Pastor Eric Koonin now leads us in the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who correctly divides the word of truth." Today we invite you to join us in your copy of the Scriptures as we examine together the Word of God under the direction of Pastor Koonin.
I'm sure it gets your attention as it does mine. I'm kind of captivated by it, actually. All the invitations and appeals that are made this time of year. I'm sure you've noticed it, if nothing else, you've noticed it in the commercial world where there are invitations to come to all the sales. Have you not noticed that? There's a sale for everything. There's a sale to get ready way back around Thanksgiving, you know, with just after Thanksgiving, there's the Black Friday sales. Then, of course, there's a sale each week leading up to Christmas. Hurry up, rush in. This is the last week before Christmas. We were coming back to see my father and stepmother from northern Ohio, and so we were trying to catch the traffic news. They said, be careful around Polaris, be careful around Easton, be careful around all those places, because there's last-minute shoppers. And of course, tomorrow and this coming week, there will be the what? The post-Christmas shopping, where everybody wants to get in on those deals. It's amazing all of the invitations that there are out there. But I think I'm most captivated by when I read the accounts of Christmas, the accounts of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. And we have historically captured them as well, the songwriters, all of the preachers this time of the year as well. There are many invitations. Have you noticed that? You are invited to come, to join in. You are invited to worship. You are invited to capture again some of the memories that you've had from your youth, to think about some of those things. In fact, we've invited people on Christmas Day to come to our Christmas service. Have you noticed all the discussion this year about people having or not having a Christmas service this year? So people say, come to our Christmas Eve service. Come to our Christmas Day service. So I'm compelled by the Christmas messages. And I'm compelled particularly by the passion. It captures my attention year after year. And I have to tell you, it's a big part of the Christmas message to come, right? You must come. One of the messages to come happens to do with an invitation even for the Savior to come. We hear the almost melancholy song, and we heard the choir sing it this morning to a little different tune, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. And in fact, it was something that people waited for throughout the Old Testament. Did you ever notice that? I was thinking about that a little bit. In Genesis 3:15, we're told, "And I will put enmity," God tells Satan, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." And then there's actually the interesting encounter where it's prophetic. he shall bruise, literally crush, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes into the world, he will crush the head of Satan. He shall crush your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I like the prophetic utterance of that. When Christ comes, and this is way back just after the fall of man, the one that will come, the Messiah, he will crush your head and you will merely bruise his heel. He'll be bruised by going to the cross of Calvary, but he will crush everything that Satan tried to bring about. And then in Genesis 4:1, it's also it's remarkable. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Some have even translated that, I have gotten a man, even the Lord. She was hoping that the child she would bear would already be the Christ child. There's always been a dramatic looking for the Savior. We realize man fell in the Garden of Eden. And ever since that, in the Old Testament, there was a desire to see the Savior come, the Messiah, the Anointed One, to come. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then later on, and I share this with you, in Isaiah chapter 9, and it's a classic passage, and I want to read that with you. And it's so Christmassy. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice, with righteousness, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there was kind of a longing for the Savior. When will he appear? When will the Savior come? So we sang the song, O Come, Emmanuel. We like that. And it says, O come, thou key of David, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And so he came. So he came. Was anyone waiting for him? With all those many, many centuries and passing of time, was anyone waiting for him? When we thought of that invitation, you know, please come. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning. We invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The Son of God appears. Angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to what? All people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Here it is. It finally comes. This incredible moment in space. in time and history, it's almost like an explosion. You know what I mean? It's just like all of a sudden, out of the darkness of night, this brilliant light appears. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself comes. And you got to have some sort of passion, some kind of rejoicing. Have you ever noticed we are always invited to rejoice, to be glad, to say how wonderful this is? And you see it with the angelic host comes, and the angel said, I'm giving you the best news of all. That is the intention. He's come. He's finally come. The long-awaited Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah has finally come. And so we ask, was anyone waiting for Him to come? Notice in verse 25, same chapter, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man, he was a righteous fellow. He was devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel, for the nation to be redeemed. He was waiting for the Messiah. That is the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's interesting, isn't it? He would not die. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wasn't going to die until the Messiah would come. In fact, until you'd even seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He knew it was him. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've seen the consolation. I've seen the Messiah. I have now seen the provision of salvation. You see, the great account, really, of Christmas is what? Christ is salvation. He came into the world to do what? To seek and to save the lost. That is the whole purpose of celebrating Christmas. We rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ came. He brought salvation. Salvation is only in Him. Jesus said, and He's not a liar, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. We can't say Jesus was just a good man. He either was all He said He was, or He was a craven liar. There's no in-between. There is no in-between. He had to be who He said He was. That says in 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. It's for all of us. Well then, incredibly enough, later on, verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. It's a remarkable account, isn't it? She had a husband for 7 years and he died. And it says, and she was a widow in the next verse of how long? Of about 84 years. So she was a widow for, what is that, 84 years? It says she departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. So this prophetess said what? And she coming in that instant, Do you notice it's all providential? It was all determined by the sovereignty of God, who works His will in His way as He pleases. And in the fullness of time, we know that the Lord came, according to the book of Galatians. So she coming in that instance gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here this woman comes in that instance, a well-known elderly woman who spent, it appears, almost all of her time in the temple. And she says, He's here! It's Him! You couldn't keep her mouth stopped. She would not have her mouth closed. See, that's why we continue to say, yes, it's Jesus Christ. Our mouths will not be closed. If it's Christmas Day or the rest of the year, shall we keep our mouth closed? We rejoice in the Savior. We delight ourselves in Him. Well, we don't wait anymore for Him to come. He's come, and He went to the cross of Calvary. He ascended on high after His resurrection. And we are waiting for the imminent return of Jesus Christ to rapture His bride, His church. It'd be great if it was Christmas Day, wouldn't it? Ooh. We think about His first coming into the world, but wouldn't it be incredible? Is the modern terminology that's so popular today. Wouldn't it really be awesome if Jesus raptured us out today? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says very interestingly enough that henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them also that love His what? His appearing. Do you love His appearing? Sometimes I pray that God might cause me to love His appearing more, that I will have that anticipation on a daily basis. How exciting that would be. Well, let's move on here. I have two more invitations. One invitation's in the past. We'll put that one away for now. An important part of what people are longing for. But I want to talk to you folks that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who come and you worship with me and who are near and dear to my heart. There's an invitation for the people to worship. And you know, when you read through this account and you look at it again and again, we're very familiar, but sometimes we don't see the forest because of the trees sometimes. You know what I mean? Sometimes we can't see all the wonderful things that are there for us. I start thinking about Mary and Joseph. You know how much they worshiped Him. You know, there is a section called Mary's Magnificat where she rejoices in her Savior, Jesus, the one that she was going to give birth to. She's rejoicing in the one she was going to give birth to. He is the Savior. He is the one all glory goes to. You sang it this morning. Gloria. In excelsis Deo. Give Him the glory, we say. We're glad to hear all the music this time of the year, but so much of it's about rejoicing. Mary and Joseph, they were incredulous. They couldn't believe it. You gotta imagine, you know, here comes the wise men. Here comes the shepherds. They see all of these things happening and they know. And we just talked about Simeon and Anna. And the shepherds, remember, they left rejoicing and giving glory to God and the Magi as they came and they worshiped. And even the angelic beings, look at verses 13 and 14 here in chapter 2. And suddenly, I like all of the descriptive words, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. We got this angelic being, this incredible angelic being, and all of a sudden we've got a host, myriads of angels, who knows, thousands, millions more. We don't know. And they're doing what? Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's an invitation for all to worship, even the angelic beings. So this event is in reality, when we talk about Christmas, it's a tremendous invitation for you that know the Savior to respond in worship. Because you see, it's everywhere in the passage, in all the passages, for you to give glory, for you to worship. It's an invitation to do that. It's a call to join in with them. We do it with the Scripture. We do it with the preaching. We do it with all of our singing. I start thinking about some of the hymns we sing. And I noticed, have you ever noticed this? I'm going to ask you this, pause for a moment. Think about this for a minute. Have you ever noticed most of the Christmas hymns and carols that are sung, that most of them have an invitation to join in? Have you ever noticed that? Like, O come all ye faithful, and the chorus says, O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. O come, all ye faithful. Come on, come on, join in. Come on, it's a celebration. Come on, join in with me. Don't keep your mouth closed. Don't keep your heart still. Think of the Savior. Angels from the realms of glory. I even noticed it on at least one Christmas card this year. And it says, come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. Come on. Come on. Come on. Join in with this happy throng. How can you keep your mouth closed? How can you not be joyous? How can you not come and worship Him who went to the cross of Calvary and died on that cross for lost sinners like us? How can you not be excited that you have salvation in Jesus Christ alone? How can you not be excited at the thought of an eternal heavenly home? How can you not be excited about Him and Him alone, that all the glory goes to Him, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Someday that will happen. And even mouths that are reluctant, someday their mouths will open. Wow, what a grand and glorious day that will be. Well, there's also an invitation to the unbeliever. So often that was the message, was it not, all the time? In Matthew chapter 11, for instance, He tells them to come. You ever notice that? He says, come unto me in 11:28. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, come. Boy, ever feel that way? Sin is the one that weighs us down. It's that heavy burden. But he says, I'll give you rest. He says, come, and I'm the one that will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's not tough to come to. I got to tell you, Revelation 22 knocks my socks off. Not only at Christmas time, but the rest of the year. It's an interesting passage in Revelation 22 and 16 and 17 because it's kind of future, but at the same respect, what's fascinating about it, Jesus is again inviting. He's telling people to come. And in verse 16, he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. And tell me this doesn't sound like Christmas. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Isn't that just a dramatic deal? He's the bright and morning star. Remember, the Magi followed the light until they found him, Bethlehem. There's light that shone and the announcing of the birth. Just so much. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then he says this, and the Spirit and the bride say what, folks?
Come.
And let him that heareth. Are you somebody that will hear today? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I give unto them eternal life. And it says, let him that heareth say what? Come. And let him that is athirst. Are you thirsty today? For the water that never runs dry. For the spring that never runs dry. He says, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will. Are you one of them? Let him take the water of life freely. It's not by your good works. It's not by vast knowledge. It's Jesus Christ alone. Come to the fountain. Come to the fountain and drink deeply, because it's Jesus Christ alone, and he says, come. You see, that's the message to the unbeliever. Notice the only ones who come are aware of their need of the Savior. You know, you don't have to bring gold to come. You don't have to bring frankincense and myrrh, but you know what? You must give him your all. Colossians 3, 2 through 4 is kind of more for us as Christians. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You notice it is your very life is handed over to him. Romans 12, 1 says, you're a living sacrifice. You give it all over to him. But you know what? I like that passage in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16 and verses 24 through 26. And I'm going to end here this morning. I'm going to end here this morning. You've been all very diligent and listening this morning on Christmas morning. And I know kids have presents in mind. And a lot of you have opened them up. And you're wanting to go home and make a big lunch today on Christmas Day with all the fixing. Praise God that he gives us all of those things. And that here it is at the end of 2011. And we have such bounty. Praise God for that. But look, in Matthew 16, verse 24, It says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now you could have all the Christmas presents in the world, right? You can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, you have nothing. You have nothing. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We might make our children happy today, but the best things, mom and dad, you can give your kids is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this morning, we invite the lost to come to Jesus Christ. This morning, we invite the saved to come and celebrate the Savior, to celebrate our salvation, to celebrate the joy of Jesus Christ in wonderful worship. Merry Christmas to you all. Heavenly Father, we pray now that the Spirit of God might work. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come to the Savior. We thank you, O Lord, for the few moments on Christmas Day to think of you, to put aside all of our pettiness, to put aside all of our distractions, perhaps even our disasters. For you, O Lord, are the joy of living. Change our heart, O God. May we be more like you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Our Noble Challenge. Our Noble Challenge is a production of Berean Baptist Church. Pastor Eric Coonan and the congregation of Berean invite you to join us when you can for a service of worship at 10:30 Sunday mornings. If you're interested in the Sunday school hour, you may show up at 9:30. We are located at 12985 Tollgate Road, Pickerington, Ohio, 43147. You can also reach our office by phone at 837-5204 or join us on the web at BereanBaptistChurch.com. Berean spelled B-E-R-E-A-N, BaptistChurch.com. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.